I'm Jocelyn Sambira, and you're listening to The Lid Is On, a UN News podcast series. In this edition, I'll look into Uganda's innovative approach to integrating refugees into society and how it's impacting the local communities. More on that later, but first.
This means we ran from South Sudan because of fight. Then we are reached here. Let God see our sins that we have done.
Susan Fikida and her friends are from a town in South Sudan called Yei. I met them in June when I traveled to Arua in northern Uganda this year. They're singing in their language Kakwa about exile, about returning home one day and asking God to absolve their people of their sins. Fighting in South Sudan that broke out last July between rival factions loyal to President Salva Kiir and his former deputy Riek Machar has forced more than 1 million people to cross into Uganda. Struggling to cope with the growing influx, the host country, which has an open-door policy with respect to refugees, has finally reached a breaking point, according to the UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR. Refugees arriving at the Uganda border are taken to a temporary reception center. They're registered by the government, get immunized for measles and polio, and receive sleeping mats, blankets, and sanitary materials. After 3 days, the refugees are placed in designated settlements, where they're given a piece of land to build their own home. UNHCR gives them the basic building material, like the plastic sheeting and poles, as well as tools for cutting. Malish Isaac Bida is a farmer from Yei, South Sudan's former breadbasket. He fled with his family to Uganda after his brother and other people in his neighborhood were killed. Government and opposition forces have been fighting for control over the strategic trading route. Malish is now living in the Mvepi refugee settlement in northern Uganda.
We have experienced a hard civil life in Yei. People have been killed, and then people have been robbed, people have been raped. A lot of things that is going on, particularly in Yei, that has scared us, and we are unable to stay in that situation. I therefore feel that if that's the case, I should better escape from the country, just that I get at least where I can be free.
Malish and his wife are also foster parents to 4 young children, in addition to their biological children. The youngest child in their care is 3 years old. Although Malish received a warm welcome from his neighbors, providing for his family has been a struggle.
Things are really hard. These basic needs, we should at least have something to eat. We should have a good shelter, but right now these things are not there. Sometimes at night time it is really very cold, so one cannot enjoy the sleep.
But you've been getting some assistance?
No, it's only like a food distribution. UNHCR provides us. UNHCR is catering for us. And then also some distribution like non-food items. UNHCR also provide us. But the problem is that we are supposed to at least to balance the diet that we have. But since that time after now, we are just continuously eating beans. That's the only problems that actually it's challenges within.
And being a farmer, is there any way you can farm and grow your food?
Here? Here there's no way. Because even the land itself, it's really a cold. There's a lot of hard coke and it's very difficult. You cannot even fit a distant place. You cannot fit.
This is the second time Malish has fled to Uganda. The first was during the Sudanese Second Civil War in the 1980s. He was just a young child, he said, pointing to the school he attended across the street from his shelter. Not much has changed since then, Malish reflected. His family returned home in 2011 after the war. Uganda's been hosting refugees since the 1940s. Its Refugee Act became operational in 2006. Crucially, it allows refugees to work, move around the country, and live in the community rather than special camps. Refugees also get free access to education, health, and other facilities built by the government.
Enjoy the day today. Welcome to enjoy.
Kindio Abdul Kadir fled Somalia with her family to Uganda when she was 8 years old. Speaking as a refugee representative during the Uganda Solidarity Summit in June this year, Kindio reminded the audience that more than 700,000 of the more than 1 million refugees in the country are children.
Uganda gives refugee children the right to free primary education. In Uganda, refugee children also have access to pre-primary and secondary education, vocational skills training, and tertiary institutions. However, not every child can enjoy these rights. Transforming them into reality comes at a cost. For secondary school and university education, most refugees rely on very limited scholarships. The rest are forced to sacrifice their ambitions. Many schools do not have adequate classrooms, teachers, learning and teaching materials, and the supplies needed to provide good quality education.
Hindio said she would like to return to Somalia one day, but the reality is that many refugees in Uganda stay for decades and some never leave. The aim of the Refugee Act is to allow refugees to become self-reliant and agents of development. But the growing influx of refugees from neighboring countries like South Sudan, Sudan, Burundi, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and Kenya is putting a huge strain on resources. And in some areas like northern Uganda, the refugees are beginning to outnumber the local populations, forcing the two to compete for natural resources like water and services. Poverty rates remain high in the north, and communities displaced by an insurgency led by a rebel group called the Lord's Resistance Army in 1994 are still trying to recover. Arua is the latest town to welcome refugees from South Sudan. On the margins of the Uganda Solidarity Summit in June, I flew to the city with the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres and his team. We landed near the Mvepi refugee settlement. Shaking hands with the refugees, Mr. Guterres stopped to ask questions and share words of support. Before heading back, the Secretary General sat down with representatives of the host community to find out what difficulties they were facing. Speaking through an interpreter, Mr. Guterres began by thanking them for their generosity towards the refugees.
I am perfectly aware of how challenging it is for this community to receive such a large number of refugees.
And
obviously, schools overcrowded, health centers and hospitals overcrowded. Not enough food, not enough water, land is scarce, jobs not enough.
Kini nira, arojo ki waru, arojo chaki ku, school chaki ku, angu tavini ku, azivini, anzipini suzare waru.
And that only increases my admiration for your generosity.
Danlu ini okofe azinde ngazu dile.
And obviously, the United Nations is very grateful to His Excellency the President Museveni, to the government, and to the people of Uganda.
United Nations Ayekosi, government Uganda DPA, emini refugee kia izurarisi.
But we believe that the international community needs to do more to support this area. And the one
base country. Guys. The cow.
A young Ugandan woman cried when she described how health clinics in the area were overcrowded and people were dying on the floor in waiting rooms. She had no ill will towards the refugees, she said, and she wanted to embrace them with open arms, but it was in danger of costing her community too much. With services and resources overstretched, the support of the local communities is starting to wane. The Uganda Solidarity Summit, co-chaired by the Secretary General, managed to raise 350 million in pledges to support more than a million refugees hosted for the most part in local communities. The UN chief said it was a very good start. The summit initially aimed to raise $2 billion. Speaking at the event, the High Commissioner for Human Rights, Filippo Grandi, began by praising Uganda for its progressive refugee policy.
Uganda now hosts half of all refugees from South Sudan, as well as more than 350,000 refugees of other nationalities, including from Burundi and the Democratic Republic of Congo. And as some of us saw yesterday, Mr. President, your country is a pioneer of progressive policies and innovative approaches that reflect a profound commitment to enabling refugees to pursue self-reliance and live in dignity while in exile.
But Mr. Grandi warned the food pipeline is drying up. A crisis is brewing and international support must be stepped up. Teresa Ongaro, UNHCR spokesperson for East Africa, has more.
The World Food Program was forced in June to cut food rations for refugees. And across settlements in northern Uganda, health clinics are being forced to provide vital medical care with too few doctors, healthcare workers, and medicine. These health inputs are provided by the government of Uganda, and the hospitals and clinics are also the same ones that serve Ugandan nationals. So you can imagine the pressures that the presence of refugees are putting on these public resources. In terms of education, class sizes often exceed 200 pupils, and often lessons are held in the open air. And many refugee children are dropping out of school because the places of learning are too far away for them to easily access. So the dilemma is that priority has to be given to new arrivals in terms of moving them away from the border, identifying people with special needs like the elderly, the people who have physical disabilities, people who are chronically ill. And that diverts resources from support programs like education. And as I said, even the existing services are overwhelmed.
Uganda's working on a new approach for refugees and the host communities called the Comprehensive Refugee Response Framework, or CRRF. Initiated by UNHCR and championed by the UN and the World Bank, the strategy seeks to bridge the gap between humanitarian and development interventions. Here's Mr. Grandi again.
The framework also reflects a clear recognition that the models and partnerships for engaging with refugees have to change. Humanitarian action alone cannot meet the challenge of large-scale refugee flows. The resources and approaches of development partners are needed, targeting both refugees and host communities, with a focus on social and economic inclusion, as well as infrastructure and environmental sustainability. Equipping refugees with skills and resources, especially women and young people, enables them to contribute to the reconstruction of their countries and help build peace when the time comes to return.
Uganda's the first to apply this framework, the UNHCR chief noted, adding that it draws on the East African nation's forward-looking approach. It's also leading the way in incorporating refugees into its national development plans. Meanwhile, other African countries are adopting this approach. Ethiopia, another long-standing welcoming host country, is one of them. To have a job, to have a normal life, to live in dignity is what most refugees wish for, according to UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres. He called on the international community to help Uganda shoulder the burden of what he called the biggest refugee exodus in Africa since the genocide in Rwanda. I'm Jocelyn Sambira, and you've been listening to The Lid Is On, a UN News podcast series from the United Nations in New York. Thanks for listening. Sudani.